How's your growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man going? That's kind of what we use the verse to talk about our goals, our resolutions, our growth steps that we want to take. And I want to encourage you toward that. It's never too late to start. As God speaks to you about things that He wants you to work on, take those on and find joy in it. The ability to grow and mature in Christ, and like Jesus did as He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, to be able to do that. And one of the ways you can do that is you can participate in these Psalms to remember, and you can learn these verses, you can memorize these verses, because I want you to know these Psalms and you can remember these Psalms. There's a little play on words there. Otherwise you might forget them, but if you memorize these, you take the time to do that, you're going to be able to do that, and they'll stick with you, and they'll be a part of what you, God has for you this year. So, here we go. Help me out. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Got it? Okay, now close one eye and try it. I'll give you a help there, right? Let's do it again. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. I hope you'll keep working on that. You can at least get the first three words and the last three words, right? Got those down really good. I asked you about making it some acrostics. I gave you some acrostics last week using the word praise. Many of you worked really hard on it, but none of you shared it with me, except for one. Here's what somebody put together. Pray regularly and ignore Satan's enticements. That's pretty good acrostic. Hank Morton did that one. So feel free to, you know, work on it again, see what you can come up with, make a nice acrostic that'll help you remember Psalm 117 and what we've learned and how we've grown in that about praise, be a part of it. So we're going to be in Psalm 134 today. I mentioned that earlier. So you ready? And now that you've got 117 down, we can do 134, right? Come, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. And somebody, my Thursday study, did a little acrostic for bless. Believe, love, endure, supplication, and salute. Now, this is a little bit harder because it's three verses instead of two. But it's also like 45 words instead of 28. It's going to be a little bit harder, I recognize that. And I'm just going to give you two verses to memorize out of that, because that might be all I can do, all right? But work on it. It's a good way to bless the Lord, to honor Him and be a part of His life. So we got three verses, 45 words, to be able to put together. Now if you notice, as you look in your Bible, you'll see, as mine does, maybe yours doesn't, but usually there's this little heading that goes there. And it says over 134, it says, a song of ascents. Okay, now that's not a pity ascent, that scent, okay? And it's not the sense of smell, it's the growing, it's the moving up. We ascend a mountain, and we're a part of that. So, as you look at these passages, Terry Swartz talked on this last time he preached. He talked about the song of the ascents. I think they're even going through some of their Bible studies and going through there to get at to this. But what it communicates is this, is they were going to the temple to worship. Even I read last night my one-year Bible in the book of Exodus that there's three times that they would go to the temple and to worship. But even as they would go, as the people that lived there, they would go, they would ascend to the temple. I mean, Jerusalem kind of sits on a hill. They would ascend, and these would be songs that they would sing as they would go to worship the Lord. Now you'll notice they start in 120. Turn back to 120 if you would. Chapter 120. Then you gotta get past the big long chapter of 119, right? So you'll see it in 120. It says, a song of ascents. In 121, a song of ascents. All of these were probably sung as they would go to the temple and they would prepare themselves to be able to worship the Lord. This is how they would do it. kind of pretty cool to be able to do that, to give these testimonies, to give these stories in song about ascending to the Lord and going to the Lord. They were also called, some have labeled these as songs of the pilgrims. In other words, these are the pilgrims who are going to the temple to worship the Lord. They're on a journey, and they go as kind of, we would call, pilgrims. One of the commentators, one of the authors, he labels each of them. They don't fit what I have in my English Standard Version, but you could follow along. You could see how they would get what they said. All right, so 120, this is what he said. 120 represents the sojourner, the pilgrims. 121, the helper, the pilgrims. You can see that. My Bible says my help comes from the Lord. All right, 121, so you can see how they call the helper of the pilgrims. 122, he calls the city of the pilgrims. 123, the plea for the pilgrims. 124, the deliverer of the pilgrims. 125, the security of the pilgrims. 126, the restoration of the pilgrims. 127, the dependence of the pilgrims. 128, talks about the home life of the pilgrims. 129, the pleas of the pilgrim. 130, the redeemer of the pilgrims. 131, the composure of the pilgrims. 132, the assurance of the pilgrims. 133, the brotherhood of the pilgrims. We'll study that one too. And 134, the benediction of the pilgrims. And as you look at this verse and you see it now, with a little bit of historical help behind you, and to be able to understand it better, you'll understand the psalm a lot better. Psalm 134 was probably one that they sang as they departed from the temple. Others could have been sung as they came. This one probably is a departure from the temple, a kind of a goodbye, and this is a song that they would have sung. You'll notice, you looked at, and if you followed me through that, you'll notice that there are a number of them in those Song of Ascents, 120 through 134, that are unnamed. They don't have names to them. That's who wrote those. But we do have some. There are four that are written by David. It says of David, 122, 124, 131, 133. And also there's one written by Solomon, 127. But out of the 15, just the five of them have some type of notation that David wrote over Solomon, but the rest of them are unnamed. So let's read it again. It'll make even more sense as you think about where they're coming to. Read with me if you would, please. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place, and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Now think of those terms. They're departing from the temple. And this is kind of a doxology. They're thanking the Lord for this opportunity. They're thanking the temple servants for this opportunity to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like they're going, you know, it's been a really good time. Worship the Lord. We've really enjoyed this time that we've been able to be here. And now that we're leaving, we want the Lord to bless us. As we've been here, we sought to bless Him, but we want the Lord to bless us as we go and as we leave, and we say to you, Lord, one last time, we love you. We adore you. We're so glad you provided this opportunity. And now, we're being sent. It's not time to go yet, okay? Just so you know that, okay? But in a sense, that's what they're doing. We're going now. But we've had a really good time, and we are so glad that we've had been able to have this time and to honor you and to adore you. As we read about this, we think about the temple. We know that the priests were the ones that offered the sacrifices. We know that they were the ones who represented God and kind of brought God down to the people, but also brought the people up to God as they gave the sacrifices. Now, here it talks about the servants of the Lord. And we read about those in the book of Ezra. They were some of the people that were numbered coming back from Babylon, back to Jerusalem, as they came back in that second arrival back and departure from Babylon into Jerusalem. And the temple servants, they were to keep the lamp lit during the nighttime. And they also kind of guarded and protected the temple. I think we could kind of say of them, they were kind of the maintenance and the security people for the temple. That's the job that they had to be able to do. The priests did the work of bringing the people to God, and God to the people through the offering. But the temple servants were serving them and helping them to helping them to be able to do the things they needed to do as the priesthood. It says in Ezra chapter 20, or in Exodus chapter 27, 20, here's the responsibility about lighting this lamp. You shall command the people of Israel that they are to bring you beaten olive oil for the light. That's how they kept the light going. That a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend to it from evening to morning before the Lord. They're to keep it lit. They're to keep this lamp lit. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout the generations by the people of Israel. I think if we could kind of put this together for us, we'd understand this, that the lit lamp represented God's presence during the night. It's kind of an Emmanuel thought, right? Emmanuel meaning God with us, right? This is for them to understand God's presence is with us through the nighttime. God is with us. Emmanuel is with us during this time through the evening hours and the night hours. You understand that they had to serve through the night. And we know that if you've worked at nights, we know that that could be a hard time to work. It's hard to stay awake sometimes. It's hard to stay focused. Well, keeping the lamp lit would help them to do that. It wasn't like, you know, they just had a little switch like we had to turn it off. They had to keep putting the oil into the lamp to keep it going. Again, recognizing God's presence. How many of you have ever worked a nighttime shift? Worked through the night? Not too many. A lot more people in the first service have done that. Maybe that's why you're here at 11, because you could never sleep during the night. I don't know. When I was finishing college, my last year of college, I started working nights at the Rocky Mountain News. It was a newspaper. Many of you would know about that. Wasn't a really, really hard job. I go to work at 12:30. And depending on how the press man wanted it, how fast they wanted to put the paper out, we would get off at 4:30, 5:30, maybe 6:30 to do that. And I just remember it was hard sometimes, just sitting there waiting for my load. I drove a truck, had the papers, we'd take them to the carriers, guys and gals would deliver the papers to the house. I can remember just sometimes it's really hard to stay awake during that time. I was going to school. It was my last year working on my bachelor's degree. And I'll just tell you, you know, I'd go home, sleep for 30 minutes, drive 30 minutes to Western Bible College, which is south of Red Rocks Amphitheater. And I can remember many class periods taking notes, and it went like that. It was just really hard to stay awake. And then, you know, I'd get up, I'd go home about 1 o'clock, sleep for 5 hours, get up and do the things you do, and sleep for another hour. It was pretty hard 2 years. But it's hard. Oh, and then back in those days, this is 1978, 79, 80, that sometimes at the church they'd have chairs for the pastors to sit in. Uh-huh. You get it. And sometimes it's hard to stay awake then. And then I was teaching 8th grade boys one time. I was a Sunday school teacher. And I was teaching away, and pretty soon I heard them blasting. And I woke up. I just told you the story. I woke up. I'd fallen asleep on them while I was teaching. Oh, boy. It was kind of hard. Anyway, if you've worked nights, you know that. It's hard to stay focused. And sometimes it's quieter. Maybe not as much as going on. Not all jobs, of course. But it could be hard. So you could picture that them keeping the lamp lit would have helped them to stay awake and to be a part of what God had for them and to recognize who He is and what He's done for them. But you also recognize that as they did it, it says here that they were to lift their holy hands up to the holy place and bless the Lord. I think, again, this sense of this will help you stay awake. This will help you stay engaged with the people, what you have to do, and how you are honoring the Lord during that time. And as we think about lifting up a holy hands, think of what that represents. What holy hands Listen up there. Bless the Lord by lifting up your holy hands. First of all, lifting up your holy hands in worship represents a posture of praise. Maybe some of you did that as we sang earlier today. And lifted up your hands in praise, because lifting up your hands is a posture of praise. I grew up in a church that sang really, really well. Was very, very good at singing the old gospel hymns, even some contemporary music. But we kind of kept our hands down here in the pockets a lot. It wasn't until I went to the Promise Keepers conferences in the 90s that I learned that it's perfectly fine to raise your hands and give honor to the Lord, because it's a posture of prayer. When you're with 50,000, 80,000 men, and they're lifting their hands and they're singing their diaphragm out, they're singing their voice out, you can't help but raise your hands. It is so powerful what God did. I don't know if you know this about Promise Keepers, but Bill McCartney started Promise Keepers. He was traveling to Pueblo in 1990 with a man, David Wardell is his name. That's where Promise Keepers started. They were coming to Pueblo to speak at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes banquet. We're famous. Pueblo's famous, right? They're coming down here because he's a coach. He's the coach of the CU Buffs, Colorado Buffaloes, and a great coach, a really good coach. Got saved. Early 30s, but he had this vision. He saw that men weren't following God like they need to. As they're driving down, this idea comes to them, and they started Promise Keepers. And he quit coaching. He quit coaching to invest in men's lives, because those men invest in their wives' lives, in their families' lives, in their kids' lives. And it's made a difference. Also, don't know if you know this, but about a month ago, Bill McCartney went to be with Jesus. Lived his life. The testimonies that came through that service, 3-hour service, up at the CU Fieldhouse. God used that man in a powerful way. But for me, it changed how I worshiped. Or it added to how I worshiped. A posture of praise. But it's also a posture of prayer. And as we lift our hands up, what does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 2? As Paul's talking to Timothy, it says this, I desire then that in every place the men should lift holy hands without anger or quarreling. Now think about that. It's really hard to lift your hands in prayer or even pray when you're in the midst of anger or quarreling. You know that. When something's going on with somebody and things aren't right, it's going to be really hard to lift your hands in prayer. But it's a posture of prayer to lift your hands. It's also, thirdly, as we learned as we're working through our men's little study on Thursdays at the Hen House at 7 o'clock. If you ever want to join us, we'd love to have you come. It's also a posture of surrender. What does a policeman say to somebody who he needs to get a hold of? Put your hands up in the air, right? It's a position of center of surrender, but it's also a position of surrender for us too. When we would say, Lord, I'm yours. All yours. I want to want what you want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. I surrender all. It's a position of surrender. And when we surrender, that helps us be obedient to what he wants us. Beautiful position. And that's what the worshipers were leaving. Challenge, encourage the temple servants. Keep worshiping the Lord. Keep lifting your hands to the holy place toward God and what he has for you. So, what does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless? I came across this, you probably know this. Some of you are going, I don't know what that means. Well, you're not from the South. Bless your heart. I didn't know what it meant too until my kids moved to Georgia and I found out what bless your heart means. Somebody says bless your heart. I found out what it means. It's derision. It's condescension. Condescension. Whatever that word.
Condescension.
I got it written down. Some of you in the South, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You understand that. Now, it can be used correctly, of course, right? But oftentimes it's a put down. It could mean you're an idiot. You don't understand. You're not into this, right? Well, we're not talking about that kind of blessing. Okay, that's a little bit of fun. Okay, so what does it mean when we bless somebody? Just generally, what does it mean when we bless somebody? Yeah, well, it means we want them to have favor. They want to experience something good. Like you might say, maybe if your kids or your parents, grandparents came to visit you at Christmas time and they're getting ready to leave, you say, I hope you have a blessed trip home. Well, what do you mean? Well, I want you to have a safe trip home. I hope it goes well for you. I hope that even as you go, you might even recognize God and you see Him. It's a sign of, I want you to have favor. I want my favor to be upon you. Maybe needing God's favor to be upon you and to grow in that. Somebody says to you, you've been a blessing to me. And that's a powerful statement. You've been a blessing to me. You know what you need to do? You need to go and bless them too. You need to write them a note. You need to text them a note. Email. Send a pigeon. I don't know, something, right? But you know, right? And bless them. You've blessed me. I'm thankful for how you've been a part of my life. You've given me favor. You've extended grace to me. I'm so thankful for that. You turn around and give it away. I might even give it away with a dump truck. We talk about that here. Keep it. Don't give it a teaspoon. That's all you're going to get back. Give it a dump truck. Give it away in a big way. Well, that's how we would bless somebody. But now, how would it be if we wanted to bless the Lord, to have the Lord bless somebody? Somebody wrote this. He said, we desire that the Lord, if this is the case, we would desire that the Lord takes care of that person, works in their best interest according to His will. Asking for God's favor for and on a person in words or through prayer. And you've done that. Lord, would you bless this person? God, would you grant them your favor? Would you help them? Would you strengthen them? And in your prayer life, I hope that as you pray, that it's more specific and intentional than that. Oh, dear Lord, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so. That's you could do that, but that's not being very intentional. How about going back to the back and getting the 31 biblical virtues to pray for your kids? And pray for your kids and grandkids that way, and the people around you, yourself that way. Today, as I pray for my kids and my grandkids, I pray that they would understand what work is, and they would work hard. They would honor that they would know that they're not working for men, but they're working for the Lord. That's what I prayed for. And I prayed for that myself, that I would work hard, I would understand my work, and that it's really for the Lord, it's not for men. You could get that card, you could help yourself out and pray for them. Tomorrow you pray that they would have a passion for Jesus, that they would love Him with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's well worth that, because then you're praying specifically for those people around you, not just bless them, Lord. You're praying very specific for them and what you want God to do in your life. But what does it mean to bless the Lord? We're talking about this. That's how we look at it. We want to bless somebody and how we bless the Lord. But oh, what does it mean when it says here, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Bless the Lord for us. We know this about God. He's fully sufficient in Himself. He has no needs about Him. There's no sin, nothing there. But there's nothing about Him that He needs. He's fully sufficient in Himself. He's not greedy or needy regarding praise or blessing. One author puts it this way, trying to understand what it means to bless the Lord. He says this. He says, bless is a higher, more reverential form of praise. That it's a higher, more reverential blessing of praise, more than just praising the Lord and being a part of His life. He says this, that the word, the Hebrew word, has the same root as the word of kneel. K-N-E-E-L. When we kneel, what are we doing? We're submitting to something. We're saying, somebody's over me. In this sense, God is over me. And I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to be number one in my life. I'm here. I'm humbling myself before the Lord. What does he say? Humble yourself beside the Lord, and he will lift you up. He'll exalt you. He'll take care of you. So the Hebrew word for blessing also communicates this kneeling. And he goes on, this author goes on to say this. He said it means to adore God, to praise him for his magnificence, and thank him for his abundant favor. It's a significant word. But as us thinking and working through all this, I'm thinking, what does it mean? Is bless the Lord the same as praise the Lord? Is bless the Lord equal to praise the Lord? And I would say that since they're two different Hebrew words, there certainly is a difference. Well, that about the one says it's more a reverential form of praise. But I would say ultimately, as you go down, that praise, blessing, extol all communicate the same thing. I want the Lord to be adored. I want to adore the Lord. I want him to be who he is. I want him to be lifted high in my life. I want to make his name famous. I want to have reverence towards him. And that's what we do when we bless the Lord, as we say, bless the Lord. We give him all the glory that's due him, the majesty that's due him, the magnificence that's due him for who he is and what he has done for us. So, if we to sing as we did earlier today, bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. I think they mean the same thing. We're going to bid, we're going to sing the doxology. And we're going to say, now praise God from whom all blessings. We're going to say, bless God from whom all blessings flow. And it's going to take a little bit to get used to. But I think, in terms of what it says in Psalm 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, I think you could have used the same word, praise. I think they're interchangeable. There is a difference because they're two different Hebrew words. But ultimately, when you boil it down, I think they communicate the same. To adore him, to lift him high, and to bring honor to him in a very, very specific way. Well, who's to bless the Lord? Here the people, as they're leaving, they say to the temple servants, bless the Lord for us. We want his blessing as we go. And I think you could equate that to those who are maybe vocationally called to serve the Lord, or as leaders in the church, your pastors, your deacons, your elders, your Sunday school teachers, they are to do that. That's a part of what we're supposed to do and to help lead you into that. But certainly we understand, as they were worshipers and they're getting ready to go home, we understand the fact of it. All God-fearers are to bless the Lord. Amen? Yeah, all God-fearers are to bless the Lord, to give him all the praise you can, to adore him through your music, through the prayers, through the time of growing together, being together with one another in community. We can bless the Lord in that. We can give him all the attention, all the adoration that he deserves in our lives. From last Sunday, I gave you that little illustration, but it said this. God isn't needy or greedy about our blessing or our praise, but he's worthy of it. He's worthy. He doesn't need it, but he's worthy of us giving all the praise and the blessing to do that. So as you think about your last week, how did you do that? How did I bless the Lord in our lives? Well, one of the ways you could do that is you could memorize Psalm 117. That would bring great honor to him. That we would say to him, yeah, your word is important. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Psalm 119. And so therefore, I'm going to memorize your word. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to take time to memorize your word. I had to do it. I probably went on that verse 30 times this past week. I still struggle getting it all down. But you know what? In that, I was seeking to honor him and say to him, your word is important to my life. And I hope you'll join me as you do that. Being intentional to be able to do that. Just pull it up on my phone many times just to look at it. So that would be one way to do it. And we know this. The servants of the Lord, what were they going to serve? They were going to serve at what time in the day? Night time, right? That's what they're lighting the lamp. But we know that praise and blessing the Lord is 24/7, 365 day. You having a bad day? Bless the Lord. You having a great day? Bless the Lord. I had one of those nights this week. Had a hard time sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was. And I was thinking about it, so I started trying to go over Psalm 117. To go through that. And I did it. You know, Lord, I bless you. Because I'm not sleeping right now. I got the opportunity. And you know what? Pretty soon, I was resting again. Lord, I bless you. I adore you. I'm so grateful for all you've done in my life. Thank you so much. You've given me so many blessings that I don't deserve. I'm grateful for that. So, how can we bless the Lord? Well, we can do it personally, right? Our own time with Jesus through the day, driving down the road. And you say, bless your heart to that driver next to us. Lord, I bless you for that person. I bless you for that person. I mean, that's the way you can do that, right? I bless you for that person because maybe they need you. Or maybe it was my fault they're having a hard time driving because I did something, right? You can do it publicly. We do it together as we sang to finish the day. That's one way, but that's not the only kind of worship we do. You do that as we gather and care for one another. You can do it in your Sunday school class, right? You can do it publicly, personally and publicly, and bring honor to Him and lift Him high and let Him know we really appreciate it. We said last week we need to internalize it. Praise and blessing. We need to internalize it. And then we can verbalize it as we put it together in what He's doing. We talked about His attributes. Just going through His attributes, as we talked about last week, that He's all-knowing, that He's all-present, that he's everywhere for us. And He cares for us, for His mercy and His holiness and His justice and His righteousness and His goodness and His mercy and His wrath and all the things. He's self-existent. He's transcendent above us. All the attributes you could do, you could start just giving those out. Lord, thank you for being this way. It's amazing who you really are. And then also we can do it by thinking about His actions, what He's done for us, as we talked about last week, His death, burial, and resurrection for us while He came. That He came, that He's the creator, that He's the sustainer, that He's the one who helps us. He extends His mercy to us, extends His grace to us. He lavishes us with His love and His grace. And that He's coming back again someday. Every time you do the Lord's Supper, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again, right? All those things, His actions that He's done for us, that's a way to bless Him, to enumerate who He is. We really can't even count the blessings. There's a beautiful song, contemporary song out now that talks about that. 1, 2, 3, and then He goes, I couldn't even count to infinity. That's how much He's blessed us. So those are ways for us to honor Him, to bless the Lord, and to seek Him high. So, let's finish it out here. In a couple hours, we'll be done. Here's my big idea. I don't always have a big idea for you, but I got some coming up. Let's bless the blessing. Let's bless the blesser. He's done so much for us. We live in America. That's a huge blessing right there. We have everything probably we need compared to the world. We are blessed. We have a family. There's a blessing. We have a good church to go to. There's a blessing. And all the things that He's done for us and who He is, He's the blesser. So let's bless the blesser. Let Him know you're thankful for what He's done for you. What He's providing for you. The things that He's provided. It's amazing what He's done for us. That's what I mean by bless the blesser. You got a job. You got a retirement. You're blessed. Beyond measure. Let's bless Him for that. Let's thank Him for that. Let's adore Him for that. Let's tell Him we're grateful for it. As we leave today in worship, like these people, let's bless Him. Thank you, Lord, for to be here today. Grateful for this opportunity to be here, be a part of our lives. Here's your memory verse. It's verse 2 and 3. Say it with me if you would. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. One more time. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. And it's Todd to come up. I'm going to sing the doxology. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing the doxology. Bless God from whom all blessings flow. Father, help us not to be stingy and selfish with our blessing back to you. Let it come from our heart, overflowing from our heart. How thankful we are for how you've been so kind to us, how you've blessed us. Help us to pass that blessing on to people around us. Again, not to be stingy with it, but to share what you've done for us and let others know what you can do for them. Help us to bless the blessed we will this week. Thank you that we've been able to be together. That's a blessing. Kindness, favor of you right there. May we sing